Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shir Mandaf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in the Masechet Bava Metzia, Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph, about to analyze a Braita that we took a look at, and we went through it relatively quickly in the previous podcast, and the reason for that was because now we'll have the luxury of taking a look at it more b'iyun. I presented the entire Braita, except for the last few lines on the handout, but we'll pick up in the middle of the Braita here. Amar Mar, Shamin Lahem Ed Masha Asu. So these are workers who did work and partway through left the job. Then we estimate what they accomplished, and we pay them. Ketzad, the Braita continues. Remember, this Braita was originally brought just in order to demonstrate that the word hit'u could be a reference to chazarat, which is leaving in the middle of the job, thus explaining our Mishnah in an alternate fashion. But Ketzad, how does this play out? Hayayafe shisha dinarim, if the work was shisha dinarim, which is a sela and a half, noten lahem sela, then you give them a sela. Why? Kasav Rabbanan yad poel ala yonah. So Rabbanan's position, clearly the author of the Braita, is that the worker really kind of holds the control here. The next line in the Braita is that they could finish their work and get the full payment. So pshita, that's a no-brainer. So lo tzricha da'aikra vita v'imru po'alim. It could be that the price of labor went up and they walked out. That's what happened. V'azo balabait ufaisin, the balabait went, brought him l'chaim, in some way appeased them to come back. Ma'uratem matzu amrule, they could turn around and say to him, kibim ufaisin adaita d'tafalana igra. We only accepted your appeasement and we came back be based on the higher new labor rate. Kamash Malan, so that's what's teaching. He said, no, the fact that I went and I brought you some food, etc., to appease you, that was what the deal was. In other words, when I got you to come back, it was at our original price, and if you get your shnei slaim. Sela noten lahem sela. Let's say the work was only hired them for a sela, and so they did the work, they give them a sela. So that's obviously a no-brainer. If you hired them at a sela, and they completed the work, and they came back and completed the work, he gives them a sela. So pshita lo tzricha dezala vita tamikara. Originally, the value of work was lower than that. V'agrinu b'tfei zuza. But he went and said, I'm going to pay you an extra zuz, I'll pay you a full sela for this work. Ulevasof aikra vita. And then while they were working, and then after they left, when they left, the price of labor went up. And so it went up one extra zuz. We think they could turn around to the hirer and say, listen, you hired us at higher than the market rate, one zuz above the market rate of labor. So now that the market rate has gone up, you have to give us a zuz above that. In other words, you have to give us more than the original sella. Kamash Malan, the Amar Lahu, Ki Amri Lahu Tfezuza. He could answer back, when did I give you an extra zuz over the market rate to Lohave Kimlachu? That was when you didn't have the right amount. Hashta Kimlachu, but now you've already got the amount, now you know what's what, so I'm only gonna pay you what we agreed to. Now that's the Tanakama. Rabbi Dosama Omer, he disagrees, says, Shamin Lahin at Masha Atid Lahayasot. You don't pay them based on what they accomplish. You pay them based on what you're gonna have to pay to get the job done. So therefore, Ayafesh Shisha Dinarim Noten Lahem Shekel. If the entire work was Shisha Dinarim, and you're going to have to get another sela to have somebody finish the job, you only give them a shekel, which is half a sela. In other words, you give them two dinarim, because you're going to have to pay four more to get the job done. Now, what's his reason? So we see a machlok between Tanakama and Rabbi Dosa, that Tanakama holds Yad Poel Al HaElyonah, he gets the benefit of the doubt, as it were, and Rabbi Dosa says, no, Yad Poel HaTachtonah, which is really like the sentiment in our Mishnah. Now, the rest of Roidos's position was, they could finish the job and get both Salim. Again, Pshita. Again, every time you say, listen, if they want to finish the job, they can get paid in full, that's an obvious statement. So, Lotzricha de Zalavidata ve'emar Balabayit. What happened is, work went down and the Balabayit left them and said, forget it. V'azul Paulim Paisu, the Paulim went back and they appeased him and said, please, let us finish the job. So he might be able to turn around and say, I only agree to take you back at the new lower rate, which is why I fired you to start with. So therefore it teaches, we came back and we agreed to do better work. In other words, he hired them at the market rate. The price of labor went down in the middle of the job, so he fired them. They came back and appeased them. And then at the end of the job, he wants to pay them less than the seller. And he says, that's why I agreed to take you back at the new lower rate. They said, no, the reason we agreed to come back was we would do a better job for that same seller, or the same Shnei Selaim. Okay, and again, all of this, entire presentation of the Braita, both Rabbi Dosa and the Tanakama, are talking about a situation where nothing explicit was said when the new agreement was made, and the question is, what assumption is the fairest assumption to work with? Now, Sela Noten Lahem Sela, again, Pshita, Rabbi Dosa says the same thing Tanakama said, which is that if the original work was a Sela, that's what he pays them, and they complete it. So, Amar Rav Huna, Braid Rav Natan, Lotzricha, Da Uzilu Inhu, Gabe Zuzami Kara, that they originally agreed to one less Zuz, Asov Zalavidata, and then work went down. Mao to Tema Batsir Zuz Amrituli, he might be able to turn to them. It's like a flip of the earlier thing. And say, you agreed to work for me at one Zuz less than the market rate, Batsir Zuz Yavinalachu, and now that the value of labor has gone down, I'm going to pay you a Zuz less than that value. Kamash Malan, Damrilay, what they can say back to him, and it's a more reasonable argument, is Kiamarnalach Bevatsir Zuzah, when did we agree to take a Zuz less than the market rate? Tolev Vikimlach, when you didn't have it. Hashta Kimlach, but now you see our work, we're with you. And so therefore, we're not going to take that, that rate. Okay. Amarav, Halacha Krabidosa. Now Rav turned after this entire Braita and said the Halacha follows Rabidosa, which is that Yad Poel Al Hatachtona. Since when did Rav say that? That a poel, a worker, can walk out, and we saw this several times, can walk out in the middle of the day, and the assumption here is that, and he can then get paid for what he did, and that's all based on famously on the pasuk, Yavadayim, V'lavadim, Lavadim, we're not enslaved to other people, we only enslaved to God. So maybe you'll argue that the way Rav perceives Rabbi Dosa is that he distinguishes between schirut, a poel, and kablanut, when you're given a job to do, and the job has a certain fee for a payment that you're going to give for finishing the job. In other words, that a poel can walk out in the middle of the day because my time is my own, but the job, I can't walk out in the middle unless I want to forfeit the payment. So umi shani le, since when does Rabbi Dosa distinguish? Atanya socher tapoel lachatzi hayom shama shemet lometo shachazuch achazachto chama. You hired a worker, and halfway through the day something tragic happened. A relative died, or he got very sick, the worker got very sick. Im sachirhu, if he's a hireling, noten lo scharo, you have to pay him for the half a day. Im kablanhu, if he's a kablan, noten lo kablanu to, then you have to pay him for half his work. But that's only in these exigent circumstances where he was honest, not where he deliberately walked out. Now, Mani, who could be the author of this statement? Ile marabanan, if it's the rabbanan who said yad poel hel yonah, rabbanan of the Braita, so my ear yashama shemet lometo shachzat tochama, ta'anis, why do you need to have this exigent circumstance where somebody in the family died, or where he suddenly got sick? Where there's a case of ones, why do you need that sort of thing? Kilo anis nami, according to Rabbanan, even if he's not ones, he could just walk out and get paid for half his job or however much he did. Rabbanan yad poel al yonah. Elav Rabbi Dosa he, it must be that it's Rabbi Dosa. Ushma mina lo shani le Rabbi Dosa ben schirut le kablanut, because this is a case of where Rabbi Dosa is talking about a sachir. Because when you talk about half a day, that's when you're getting paid per hour, not for the job. And so Rabbi Dosa says the same thing about schirut, that it's only in the case of exigent circumstances you could walk out and get paid for what you did. If not, if you just walk out voluntarily, then you only get paid for what the total job will cost minus what the total job would cost minus what the owner is going to have to pay to get it finished. Now, Amarachma Yitzchak, B'davar Ha'avudu Divir Akor. Amarachma Yitzchak says the Braita that we're just talking about is talking about Davar Ha'avud, meaning it's perishable. Divir Akor. There, even Rav would agree that if you're working with something like pulling flax out of the thing or making something, a cake for a wedding that's going to be today, then the only excuse that you have is to walk out as an onus. That's Amarachma Yitzchak. All right? But let's see if that works. Tanan. And that's how he solves it and says this doesn't challenge us because we could say this Braita is even Rabbanan. And when Rav said Halacha Kavidosa, he's talking about it in a case that's not Davar Avud. Now let's see if that answer works. None. Kol HaMishane Yado Al HaTachtona. Right? The Mishnah says two things. Anybody who changes the terms is not in control, meaning he's not in the power position. And v'cholach chozer bo yado al ha'tachtona. Anybody who walks out in the middle is in the least powerful position. All right, now we've got two statements here. What do they both know both for? Bishma k'moshan ha'yado al ha'tachtona. I understand the first statement. Satam lantana k'rabbi Yehuda. That works like Rabbi Yehuda, who we dealt with in the ninth parak of parak HaGozel. If you give an artisan a particular job to do, and he changes the job, you give him to dye it one color, he dyes it another color, you're in the position. You, the one who are the victim, who is the victim, is in the more powerful position about deciding what to do, about paying him for the shavach, etc. All right, so that supports Rabbi Yehuda. What's that last line of anybody who walks out in the middle is Yadu al ha'tachtona? What's that coming to include? Lav la'toye poel Rabbi Dosa. Isn't it coming to include the case of a poel and supporting Rabbi Dosa? All right, which means that halachic Rabbi Dosa. Ela Rabbi Dosa tatikamar. Right, in which case we say no. Rabbi Dosa really said two things. Meaning, Rabbi Dosa said first of all, kablanut. If you walk out in the middle, you are yado al ha'tachtona. Second of all, the same thing applies to schirut. V'rav sabra lakavatei v'chado palagalei v'chada. Rav supports Rabbi Dosa and agrees with him in one halacha, that's with kablanut. He disagrees with him about a sachir because of avadayim. Ibaitema, there's another way to interpret that last line, so it has nothing to do with our discussion, and that is kol ha'chozer bo yado al ha'tachtona l'chedetanya. This has nothing to do with walking out. Chozerbo is not about walking out on a job, it rather is about me negging on a sale. L'chedetanya, kol ha'chozerbo kitzad, an explication of that phrase is, Horesha macharsa de la chavero b'elef zuz. A fellow sells a field to another fellow for $1,000, let's say. Atan l'ma'ot mehan matayim zuz. And the fellow paid, the buyer paid 200 as a partial payment. All right, so he owes 100 now. Bisman shamocher chozerbo, if the seller then says, forget it, I don't want to go through the deal. Now, the buyer is in control, meaning, he can say, give me back my $200. He can say, you have to give me land of $200 worth of your land. Now, and the buyer can then select which land, minha idit, the best kind of land. We're going to look at that in a few minutes. But let's say the buyer walks out. He paid $200, says, forget it, I don't want this land. Yad mocher al yonah, the seller has the rights. He could say, Ratzah omer lo helach ma'otecha. He could say, take your money, and he could call the deal off. Ratzah omer helach karka k'nei ma'otecha. He could say, you gave me $200. I don't want to give it back to you. I didn't give you $200 worth of my land. And mechan magbiomin ziburit. And then he can give him the worst kind of land, ziburit. All right, so perhaps kol ha'chozer bo yado al ha'tachtona has nothing to do with walking out on a job, and has everything to do with reneging in the middle of a sale. Shem Gamliel omer melamdino tan shelo yachzuru. Just as an add-on, Rishon Gamliel here says, we make a fix so that they won't change their mind in the middle. Ketzad, kotevlo, you write a shtar that says, ani ponu imponi macharti sadeh plonit leploni be'alav zuz. In the shtar mechira, you write, I sold this field, the particular field, to this guy for this price, v'natan limhem matan zuz, and he's paid me 200, v'arreni no shebo shmona meot zuz, and now I am dunning him for 800 zuz. And that way, the chazara becomes something that becomes very difficult. Now, Kana umachzir lo et hashar afilu achar kama shanim. So what? And then the text says, the text of the shtar says, the field is his, and now, so the text doesn't say that, but the halacha is, the field is his, and now I can come after him for the money even years later. And now there's no room for reneging. That's the breita. And that may be what kol ha'chozer bo is about. Now, Amar Mar, let's take a look at this. Mehechan magbiyo min ha'idit. If the buyer is the victim here, he has control and he can collect edit, $200 worth of edit land. Even that's not what he was buying. That's what we think. Our assumption means the best of the land of the seller, even though that's not the land he was selling. Why should the lokeach be any better than a regular balchov? And what's the Mishnah in Gittin tell us? Balchov is only able to collect benonit. All right, plus, it should be the land that he already paid for. That should be what he's getting. So, Amar Nachman Yitzchak, he answers, Me'idit Sheba. It is the idit within the land that was being sold. That's what it means. Umi ziburit shibai. And the other one, where the mocher is the victim, can give him the ziburit of the land that he was buying. That's his solution. So idit and ziburit here are relative terms within the plot of land that was up for sale, and nothing else is going to be touched. Rav Acha bar Rav Ika Amar, he gives a different answer. He says, no, afilu teima mi idit nachasav and mi ziburit nachasav. You could even say that bright one, it says idit and ziburit really mean it in absolute terms within the context of the seller. Why is that? Stam and zoiv zoving araba alfi zuzi uzuli mozil umazbin achasav. In a stam case where a guy sells 1,000, you know, big piece of land, then that cheapens the rest of his property. And therefore, when this guy came to sell that, to buy that amount, and then walked down on him, havele kenizak. When a guy is buying 1,000. That cheapens the rest of his stuff. So therefore, he's like a victim. He's like a nizak. Nizak can get to collect idit. So when the buyer wanted to buy 1,000 and he gave him 200 and then the seller said, forget it, the buyer is now a nizak. So as a nizak gets to collect idit. This is a very creative and kind of a stretched interpretation of nizak, but that's the way he dissolves it. So then, Rishim Gamliel Omer in the bright, Lamdino Tan Shaloy Achzuru Kitzad Kotev Loni Plonim Plonit, etc. So we have that shtar. Time and Chatav Lehachi. So we say it only works because he wrote the shtar. Halakotav Achi Lokani. What the field does not become the Lokeachs if he didn't write this extra thing in the shtar. The Lokeach gave made a kinyan. He gave 200 worth on the property. Why isn't it his? Vatanya Otenya Ravon Lachavirov Amarlo Imani Choserbi Arvani Machulach. We had this a little while ago. If a fellow gives a collateral to somebody and says, if I don't complete the deal, then you get to keep the collateral. And the other guy says, if I walk out on the deal, I'll give it back to you plus again. In other words, I'll double it over. Then it comes out tonight to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says it works, which means here, when I give you money for a field, it should certainly be the case that the field becomes mine immediately. And then maybe if I renege and I don't pay the rest, you get to keep or whatever the rest of the deal might be. But the kinyan should be there without an extra star. So the answer is Rabbi Yossi Tameh Demar Asmachta Kanya. This is back to the issue of Asmachta. Because the whole issue of an Eravon is based on Asmachta, because neither one of them expects to walk out in the middle. So he's saying sort of as an exaggerated statement, if I don't complete the deal, then you get to keep this. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Dayoshi Kneket Eravono. In that context, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you only get the same amount as the Eravon. Meaning that if the guy keeps the Eravon, then you get that amount connected, because Rabbi Yehuda says, Asmachta lo kanya. Good. So now, Rishon Gamliel, Medvar Amurim, Mizman Shamar lo Eravoni Yikon. We had this earlier. Rishon Gamliel said that only works if the guy says the Eravon really is a kinyan. Machar lo sadeh elav zuz v'ratan lo stam mehem chamesh meil zuz. Let's say a guy bought a field for 1,000, paid half. Kana umachzir lo atashar filo achar kamashanim. In that case, the field's yours, the whole field's yours. That's not an issue of asmacht at all, and you have to pay the rest. So you see that Rishon Gamliel himself says, without writing an extra star, the field's yours. So lakasha hadako ayel v'nafik azuzi, hadaloko ayel v'nafik azuzi. If the guy sells you the field, you pay him $500, and then you take the field, and he leaves you alone, that means the field's yours, and then you pay him when you pay him. But if he keeps coming after you for the money all the time, ayo v'nafik azuze, then our assessment of it is that he wasn't really mocked on the field to you until you paid him in full, and therefore there's no kinyan without this shtar unless you paid him in full. Why? If somebody sells something to another fellow and then keeps coming after him for the full payment, lo kani, the kinyan's not full, right? But lo kai el v'nafik azuzi, if he doesn't bother you, then kani, then it's yours right away. V'yamar Rav, Rava continues, Haiman da ozfei mea azuzi l'chavrei upare zuza zuza. If a fellow lends, borrows $100 and pays him back $1 at a time, Piron have aladi le tarumat kabei. It's a proper piron, technically, but the fellow really does have room for complaint. Because damar le afsatinu minoi, you made me lose it. What can I do with a dollar? If you give me $50, $75, I could do something with it. $1, what am I going to do with it? And collecting 100 different dollars doesn't help me at all. So really, technically, it's a piron, but really, it's not a proper way to do it. Haugavar dissolving le chamra le chavre. All right, there was a fellow who sold, the way Rashi reads it, he sold a donkey. There's room to think that it might be in wine here, but he sold it, we're going to read it like Rashi, he sold a donkey, and he owed still one zuz on the donkey, a small amount. And the fellow kept saying, where's my zuz? So Yatav Rashi become Ayinbar. Rashi thought about this case, says, Ki hai gav namai. Kani o lo kani? Do we say that the other fellow has the donkey and he just owes a zuz, or because the other fellow, the seller, keeps pestering him for the zuz, say the kinyan's not valid until then? Do we, right? Amar the Rav Mordechai Rashi, Chamavim Mehegroni Mishmei de Rava, we quoted Rava saying, Zuza kazuzi dami. One zuz is like many zuz. It doesn't matter what the guy's coming after. If he's still coming after part of the payment, it's not, right, velo klani. Amar Racha Breda of Yosef the Rashi, but he turned around and said, Vahamrina Mishmei de Rava kani. But Rava once said in such a case, Kani, so how can, you're quoting Rava, but in two opposite directions. One is, and as a general statement, that one zuz is like many zuz for this issue, and the other is that in such a case, where there's only a small amount left, Kani. So he said, you know what, that case where Rava said that it is Kani, and that's when you're selling your field because it's a bad field, and you're forced to sell your field, so you really need the cash. There, your demand for the cash is not because you're not parting with the field willingly, it's because you really need the cash. And therefore, the kinyan is immediate. Now, pshita, boili zvuni humeya velo ashkach. Let's say a guy wants to sell his field for 100, and he can't find any, and he can't sell that field. It was over my time, so he ended up selling a bigger field for 200. Right? He could find a buyer for that. And he keeps coming after the guy for money. So lokani. Clearly, he hasn't parted with this field very willingly, so until he gets the full payment, lokani, if he duns the guy for money. Ella, but let's try the flip. Ella, iboy lizvuni b'meya v'lo ashkach. Let's say that he wanted to sell it for 100 and couldn't find it. V'itarach avim ashkach. Had he worked hard, he could have found a buyer. He didn't work hard. Instead, he just found the first buyer for 200. And then he started pestering him. My. Would that be compared to Mocher Sadem Ne Ra'ata? And therefore, we would say that Kani Miyad, and the reason he's pestering for money is because he needs the money. Or would you say it's not because he doesn't need the money that much? Because if he did, he would have worked very hard to find a buyer for his smaller field. And the answer is Teiku. We really don't know how to judge it. All right, the last piece is from the Mishnah, Sachar Tachamar Vatakedar. If you hired, remember, a donkey driver or somebody else to bring things for the wedding, etc., anything that's Davar Haved. So what do you, Sachar Alehen Ummata'an? You can hire on their account, or you can fool them themselves and offer them more, and then at the end say, I'm going to pay you what the proper amount is. Now, Ad Kama Sachar Alehen, how much can you add on and then take that away from what you're going to pay them? Nachon Ad Kadei Sacharan, you can go up to the amount you were going to pay them. In other words, if you hired them for $50 to do the job, and they did part of the job, and then they walked out, and it's something that's going to be lost, and you can only find people to finish the job for up to $50, you can hire, so we say for any amount, you can hire up to $50 worth, and then not pay them anything, and pay the second guys the same $50. So, Eitav Eravulav Nachman, the Mishnah says, Anar Bayim Mechamishim Zuz, which is much less than that. So, Amar Leki, Tanya Hik, Shabbat HaChavila Liado, if the owner has all of the tools of the workers, whatever it is they're using to make the wood or whatever it might be, then in that case he can go up to Arba Mechamishim Zuz. But if not, then he can go Ad Kedei Scharan. Okay, we will leave it at this point and pick it up at the next Mishnah, which is really Mishnah Gimel in the Perek, and the entire Mishnah Gimel. In the next podcast, but in the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.